Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, my cold's getting a little bit better. Victor, I got cough drop in my mouth today. Thank you for getting me back on my feet. I'm taking some of that cough syrup again this morning. Been putting some medicine in my ear. I think on my way back. I just got to give you some breaking news here, Jared. If you go to that stuff I just sent you, man, I had to make a late night flight to Washington, D.C. last night. So if it seems like I'm a little worn out, Jared, if you would, click on that link there. It shows Shannon Bream standing. It says, what does it say there, Jared? It says, Shannon last night. I might take you a minute, but get this up here so you guys will know why I got that. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Shannon Bream for Fox News was trying to do her show outside of the Supreme Court last night. The crowd got so rowdy that they had to run her inside. And so I got a special call from the owner of Fox News and ask if there's anything I could do about it. So there's Shannon standing out in front of the Supreme Court last night, probably calling me. And Jared, click on the next one that says no subject. And I'll show you why I'm so tired here this morning. Jared, shoot that up there for us. It's Shannon saying, where's Coach? Can anybody find Coach for me? And let's see if Jared can understand why I'm a little under the weather today here. There I am. I got called in real quick. So I ran in there last night to stand with Shannon. And just drove in and worn out. And nah, that's all. Just pulling your leg. Just pulling your leg. That's when David Arthur and I were at the SCOTUS building a couple weeks ago. Crazy, man. Crazy. Get ready. Sit back. Watch the guys on the left go nuts over this pick. And as I said the other day, it's all about abortion. Now, boys and girls, why is it all about abortion? Somebody tell me that. Why is it all about abortion? And why is the left? Folks, listen. You got to go deeper. And your ability to think, you have to go deeper. The Holy Spirit, we talked, that show yesterday rocked, didn't it? We talked yesterday about vibrations and waves and God's word and God's word. God's word was creative. Think about that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, and boom, creative power of some type in the words of God. Creative power. There it is. Watch this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was void without form, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, boom, light, light, boom. Now, this is what's really interesting. I want to jump on this real quick because I didn't get a chance to do this yesterday. Have you noticed this? There ain't no sun yet. So what, Coach? So there ain't no sun yet. And the earth was void without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. Boom! And there was light. See, he had to create light before he created the sun. It's like the old chicken and the egg, which comes first. See, it doesn't say he created the sun. It said he created light. And look what happens. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning was the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters from which were in the firmament, and from the waters which were above the firmament. It was so, and God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and God called the dry land. God's calling all these things into place just with his words. He's calling them. And it's interesting, isn't it, that he created light before he created the sun. At least that's, anybody read that differently than me? He created something called light And then he created the sun to put it off. Could the sun give light if he hadn't created light yet? God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Didn't say divided the sun from the moon. Divided the... Wow. We got to go deeper. We got to go deeper in our thought process. So I started to ask it, and I'm going to ask it again. Why are they so upset about abortion? Why does that matter so much to the left? If you watch the show regularly, I hope you remember that the left is not the liberals. It's not the Democrats. The left is the Christ-hating left, the Christless left. Why are they so interested about death? Why do they want so much? The most important right that they're ever going to have is the right for a woman to be able to murder her unborn baby.
That's the basis of their power, brother. That's the basis of their power. And we're choking it off, and that's why they're going insane.
Explain that, Vinny. What do you mean that's the basis of their power?
Okay, so this is going to get a little disturbing. Yeah, these people are Satanists. What they do is they sacrifice children, and they use the children's blood for their drug adrenochrome. And they'll
time out, Vince. Do I need to put on a tinfoil hat right now?
No, because I put it on Facebook. The adrenochrome is not scheduled. Think about this. Something that grows out of the ground, cannabis, is on Schedule 1, right? But adrenochrome is not. So adrenochrome is legal.
What is adrenochrome, Vince? What is adrenochrome?
Adrenochrome is a fear molecule that builds up in the blood when you're being tortured.
Folks, do you hear this? We've all heard of adrenaline. So, boy, I got an adrenaline rush. Remember that? You've all experienced adrenaline rushes.
Sure.
We've all experienced them, right? Adrenochrome is a chemical component. Thanks, Vince, for bringing this up. Molecular formula, there it is. The derivative is a hemostatic medication. Despite a similarity in chemical name, it is unrelated to chrome or chromium. It just sounds like it. So adrenaline and an adrenaline rush, look at this, effects on the brain. Several small-scale studies conducted in the 1950s and 60s reported that adrenochrome triggered psychotic reactions as a thought disorder, derealization, and euphoria. Folks, this is unbelievable, isn't it? I'm not going to take the time to go down and read all this, but adrenaline rush, I'm not putting words in Vince's mouth. Let me explain it. When in an abortion, when they torture little children, it doesn't matter who it is. You've all had it. When something scary or something threatening hits you, you get this rush of adrenaline. And the purpose of the rush of adrenaline is probably a self-preservation thing to make you ready to do whatever it is you have to do, that adrenaline rush. And after you've had it and you sat down and whoo, you feel that over you. But here's what they theorize goes on. Not only in abortion, but in any type of sacrifice, especially child sacrifice. That imagine a little baby in the womb and a poker starts coming and grabbing his leg. There could be an adrenaline rush inside that little baby. Well, you imagine a little child, a little 3-year-old or 4-year-old or 5-year-old or 10, I don't care how old it is. Child that's kidnapped and trafficked and tortured and brought almost to the point of death. And when they're brought to the point of death, then they're killed. And then there's adrenaline produced inside the blood. Now, wait a minute. I know this is ultimate tinfoil hat. I know this is. But can somebody explain to me why the left wants to kill babies? Somebody give me a. See, I haven't heard anybody asking this guy, this Kavanaugh, where do you stand on illegal immigration, or where do you stand on equal opportunities in education, and where do you stand on unions, and where do you stand on? Go ahead, anything. Go through anything you want to. It's all abortion, 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 abortion.
Hey, Coach.
Something's going on. Yes.
Why would the demons of the Old Testament want sacrificial children? You know, that's what the Israelites were always told. Look up Leviticus 18:21. God says, don't sacrifice your children to Moloch. Why would they want anything different now?
Good point, Dylan. So in other words, this is old as the Bible itself, right? Jared's got up on there, and they shall not let any of the seed pass through the fire to Moloch. Neither shall thou profane the name of God. I am the Lord God. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, David. It is abomination. So there is something deeply spiritual going on in this abortion thing. It's more than just choice. There's something deeply, deeply evil going on.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Love to answer your question. When you go to Genesis and you read where God created and spoke everything, and I mean every minute detail of all creation to the expanses of the universe, there's only one thing and one thing alone that God literally breathed part of himself into, his Holy Spirit into, and that was man.
Amen.
Therefore, they hate that one thing that possesses the part of God, because Satan himself wanted to make himself like God. He hates all God's creation, but the crown jewel is the image bearer of God.
Amen, buddy. I'm with you on that one, Dale.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, George. Morning, George.
Coach, it's food. It's food in the demonic realm.
It has to be.
It's a demon.
George, you're breaking up badly, man. George, you sound like one of those demons in George Jetson. That you're breaking up, can't hear you. It's food. It's power. There's something going on in the power. Now, do I have the permission of everybody to go tinfoil hat here for a second?
Please do.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay, good, because I didn't get to do this yesterday. But this has troubled me. Now, I'm going to lay this right out here right now. You don't have to believe what I say. You don't have to agree with me to enjoy the show. But I have something inside my heart that always wants to go deeper. I want to know more. God's word is so powerful. It has creative energy. That, hey, David, Arthur, you here? Are you here, David?
Yes, Coach.
What did God do, David, to heal you?
He just touched me.
Spoke
to him. He just touched my life. He set me free.
Or, David, maybe you were sitting there reading that word, and the power in that word came in and did a recreative miracle inside you. We don't really know, do we, David?
No, it was the power of the word, the living word. It was the power of the living word, because I grabbed first.
Oh, the power, the word is what it say, living. Yes. Doesn't it say that?
Yes.
The word is living.
The living word.
Living. And powerful. Where's that scripture? Does anybody know where that is off the top? Where's David Hawkins when I need it? The word of God is quick and powerful. And where is it, Jared? Where is it? Now Jared's looking.
Hebrews 4:12, Coach. Hebrews 4:12.
Hebrews 4:12. Go there. This is piggybacking on yesterday. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That is the word of God. And you know what? I did a little word study yesterday just in my head. How often I found the word of God connecting to the word power. 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 Something about that word, boys. Something about that word. And I think there's a, if we go back and we start thinking about sound waves and time waves and AM and FM and 4G being nothing more than a grid. Is Mark in here today? Mark Trump in here? And I don't know if he is. Not. He's
well, as you, hey Coach, as you're looking for Mark, that word power in the New Testament, the word is dudamis.
Where dudamis. We get dynamite.
Dynamite, explosive, tear things down. Come on, brother. It'll move. It's a sound wave moving right there.
So Todd's in here today. Todd, explain to us, Todd. This is kind of all of a sudden, this just became a little bit of a review from yesterday. You know me, I don't stay on one topic 2 days in a row. Todd, explain waves. Can you do that? Explain how waves work, Todd.
Yeah, so waves are, there's waves in everything that we experience in life. You can see you drop water into a pond, you experience a wave. And so any medium can have a wave propagate through it. So if we have in our medium, whatever dimensions we live in, there's waves that go through everything. And so when God speaks, he must speak in such a way that's just his voice contains a huge amount of energy that we just don't understand that actually propagates through our dimensional world that we live in. And waves it's a method by which this energy is transmitted through our medium. So a wave has a peak and it has a valley. And frequencies come in. Frequencies are defined is the distance between each peak.
So the word wave. I'm sorry, Todd. The word frequency means how often. When they say how often the wave goes. Is it a long wave or is it a short wave?
It's a short wave.
Frequency. Correct. Frequency. Okay.
That's the frequency, right. So you can have multiple waves coming in at you at different frequencies. And this is what Mark was getting at with the 5G and the 3G and the 2G. All this energy is coming at you at different frequencies.
So the new 5G then, what's the difference between 5G and 4G? Todd, in layman's terms, what's the difference between 5G and 4G?
It's just that it's an energy wave coming at you, but the frequencies are different. So the distance between each peak of a wave varies. So you can experience this, for instance, if you're out on a lake in a boat, and you'll see two boats that'll travel close to you and they produce a wake following behind their boat. And these wakes can interfere with each other and they create a different wave at a different frequency.
Oh my goodness. Hey, you guys remember when we had all hands on deck? And Ray, I don't know if Ray's in it, we about sunk the boat because there was a wave coming. Remember that wave was coming? And I said, hey, watch out, here comes the wave. And at the same time, the wave came up, the nose of the boat went down, and that boat began to go down into a confluence of two waves coming together, caused a different type of reaction, right?
Right, so destructive and destructive interference.
Constructive and destructive interference. But Vince, the point is, And Todd, the point is these waves are moving through all the time. They're going on. If you got a cell tower near you, boys and girls, there are waves coming through your house. I'm telling you, if you have the internet, I got waves running through here right now. I got waves coming off of this phone. All right. So waves. Wow. Hey, listen. He sent his word. He sent his word and healed them. Wow, the word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder. So it's all about weight. Wow.
But Coach, it's that. But these waves that we experience can feel them physically. For instance, if we're on a water and a boat comes by, we can physically feel the wave. But there are waves that we experience that we can't physically feel.
Mm.
We're not even aware that they're there. However, those waves are doing something to our body that we're not even aware of. So
what I was just asking yesterday, Bob, the beryllium and the barium and the aluminum and the stuff that they're putting in the chemtrails, we say is no big deal. Those type of things affect energy waves, don't they? So if some energy wave was going through you and it hit some aluminum, it would deflect or it would bounce. And so could it be possible that people were getting Alzheimer's because they've taken in some barium or some aluminum or something that's causing a change in that wave pattern going through them? Am I nuts, Todd? Am I close to it, Todd?
No, I think you're spot on. I think these contaminants that are in these weather modification attempts can adversely affect our brain. So if we have electromagnetic waves, if you just think of an antenna just receives a wave, and antennas are tuned to particular frequencies that they want to receive. So it's like Mark was saying, this, there's a little crystal that vibrates at a certain frequency. And so we could be accepting contaminants within our body that are specifically made to be tuned to frequencies.
What about this? Hey, what about this one? Are you looking at me?
Yes.
Isn't that what you do in yoga or Buddhism? Aren't we? This is crazy.
You open up the gateway.
Hey, coach.
Open up the gateway. So the wave opens something, just like in the water. The wave creates something. Think about the creative power of God's words. If He's speaking that wave, think what it must be like. Somebody tried to get in. Come on in.
Yeah, coach. I wanted to give your illustration. I want to give a picture to your illustration. Remember the cover of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, talking about a ray of light hitting a prism and then refracting into a rainbow. That's what's happening inside of us, except it's not so pretty. It's
what a picture that is, right? The sun comes through the clouds, and what do we get? We see that wave broken down into different colors. In fact, if I go out on my if I go outside and I mow the grass and I'm not wearing a shirt, when I come back in, my skin's red. I'm saying, well, how can my skin be red? My wife said, well, have you been out in the sun? I said, what I have to do if I've been out in the sun? Well, sun's rays burn. What? How can they burn? Well, just like when they put them inside of a microwave and they turn that thing on, it heats it up. You see the power of waves?
But see, coach, the light, that prism is a great example, because what you see in a light wave, what you experience in a light wave is comprised of different frequencies. So when the light gets refracted through that prism, it breaks up that whole amount of energy into specific frequencies. And so each color has its own frequency band.
Wow.
So when God's power, when He speaks, just the power of that word is consider that like a light wave. That power has multiple frequency bands within it.
You're blowing my mind, Todd. You're blowing my mind. We know this. Remember this word. I'm 65 years old, and I never gave this deep thought. I never, ever gave this deep thought. Frequency. Frequency. Well, what's a high pitch of sound? Remember I said yesterday about my dog and, because they heard the siren? Well, frequency means how often that wave bounces. How often? That's what creates a frequency. Or you get a real deep voice. And it's not as fast. Frequency. What would God's voice sound like? Wow. Wow. My sheep hear my voice. Frequency. And another voice they will not hear. And in order to hear that frequency, you have to be born again. Why? Because the natural man receives not that frequency. To him, it is full. This is too deep. I'm going to have to go back to bed. This is too deep. Yes.
And for people who want to do more research, just something I thought about. There's also resonance, right? There's a resonance frequency.
Oh, so
that's
why would
like
you do
a
that
frequency
to me?
You give off. And so a Christian, let's posit, you have a different resonance. God changes your resonance. You have the flesh resonance, and then you have the Christ resonance, right? You resonate, and sometimes in historical documents, people, they literally glowed, you know, some holy men, you know, like holy Christians.
That's right. And well, think about what are MRIs and all that kind of stuff, right? They're measuring different heat waves, and this is so deep. It's so deep.
And with resonance, Nikola Tesla, who basically invented our modern age, maybe due to demonic influence or whatever, he posited that he could destroy the planet Earth from, if all you do is you explode a bomb on one side, you wait till the frequency, the resonance, and it resonates to the other side of the planet, you explode a bomb there, and it builds. It's exponential growth in destructive energy just based on the waves and the sound waves and stuff like that. So there's...
Hey, Psalm 91, hang on now, this has hit me. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Could that be a protective wave field? Oh, my Lord. Yeah, go ahead. Come in.
You just have to ask yourself, then, why did in 1953 the International Standards Organization require that most music and broadcast be at 440 hertz instead of anything else? Mm. And I was reading yesterday, too, why did – there was a pope. I can't remember which one it was, but did – this pope destroyed all these Gregorian chants that were at a different,
oh my goodness,
80 hertz that we can't find, or we just have historical references to them, but we can't hear them anymore or listen to them anymore.
Wow, Dylan, and that made me think of that thing I always hear advertised all the time on Hagman and Hagman called whole tones. Have you guys heard that? It's supposed to be relaxing music that calms the spirit, whole tones. Why? Because it's different types of waves.
Hey, guys. Hey, Coach. Hey, listen, Coach.
Yeah, Todd.
Hey, Coach, one other thing to consider, we have to remember who we're dealing with here. With Satan, Satan's role was he was the head of praise for God, right? He was the music director of heaven. And what is music? Nothing but waves and frequencies. So if anybody understands frequencies, it's Satan.
Oh, my goodness. I'll get thrown out of church. If I go and start asking these kind of questions, I'm going to get thrown out of church. There, Jared has up on the screen right now, waves. And I don't know if you guys can see on the screen or not. But waves and the manipulation of waves and the lengthening of waves and the shortening of waves. Oh, my goodness. And the lower the frequency, the deeper the sound. And the higher the frequency, the shorter the... Oh, my goodness. Are you guys getting bored? Because I'm not. There's something. There's power. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. What if there really is power? Not just some made-up thing, but what if a voice that created the universe, who spun the universe into being, wow. My sheep hear my voice. Wow.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, heavy, George. Heavy. Help me.
You know what? As you're sharing this, I think most of us have been taught about that power filtered through the eyes and ears of a weak, watered down religion. So therefore it's not, it should be second nature to us as a Christian. And I don't think it is because it's been so watered down. Like that song you just sang. I mean, think about it. That's a powerful song. And yet if it's even sung anymore, it's just sung and people probably aren't even thinking about the words. They just like the tune.
That's right. I don't understand. And they say, where's the power? Oh, how about this? Hey, about this, Dale? All power, it says, has been given unto me. Well, what's power? What is power? See, we just think power is the ability to be in control. The power is the ability to direct and to dictate. Oh, he's all powerful. That dude's got some power. The more money you have, the more power you have. We think power means the ability to manipulate, control. No. The source of all power is God. He's the source of all power. And that doesn't just mean you're in charge and you're not in charge. It means out of his mouth, the words that he spoke, oh my goodness, created the energy. Yeah.
Now also that the word power, one of its very root foundations of meaning is authority.
Yes.
Coach, God is a star-breathing, fiery of a God, and we try to limit his power into our rational thinking. We have no concept of the power possessed in Christ and in his word.
So, Dale, why is it that we can get teenagers to go to amusement parks where they fly down roller coasters and, and we can't get them to go to church?
Because we limit the power of God and of his word. And
we don't even understand it, see? We don't even understand it to the point where the power of Almighty God transformed David Arthur.
Coach, we would rather take our children out with super soakers than take them into the woods with some serious guns and teach them what power is.
Amen.
We don't even know what it is. I don't even understand what it is. I don't. He said if you had the faith as the seed of a mustard, you could move mountains. We could move mountains. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord,
hey, Coach, here, let me go to that. And wait, George, listen to this. Because in that scripture, Jesus told the church, he said, speak unto the mountains. We spend too much time speaking to God about our mountains when God has told us to tell our mountains about him.
Amen.
And we often take that verse, you know, you could move mountains. No. The word says, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you would move mountains.
You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. See, we don't understand what has happened. How has the power been so diminished in the church, Coach, in particular? We're sitting around begging Brett Kavanaugh to end abortion. Kavanaugh don't have the power to end abortion. The Supreme Court doesn't have the power to end abortion. So the real power that we have to end abortion, we already have that power, but we don't know how to apply it. We dip it off to somebody else. Go ahead, George.
Well, Coach, you know, during the Age of Enlightenment, which became the Age of Reason, we've never left it. You know, that was one of the pitfalls and dangers is, now we want to reason everything. You can't reason God. You have to take God on faith, right?
George, you said one of those words, enlighten, light, enlighten, to put light into. What is the source of all light? Enlighten, the time of enlightenment. Oh, my Lord Jesus, help us to understand and see. Help us to get it.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Real quick, how would the Holy Spirit play into this discussion on frequency? We are born again, and the Spirit of God lives in us. How does the Holy Spirit tie into the frequency issue? And the second thing I want to say is we've topped 40 in the huddle for the first time.
All right. Praise the Lord. Good. Well, folks, I'm not a theologian. I just know the right questions to ask.
Roger, to me, how does it play into it scripturally? Those who have ears to hear.
And how do you hear? What do you hear?
Hey, Coach. To answer Roger, I would contend that when we were born again, it says we are a new creature, right? And I think what God does is he physically changes our DNA. And that DNA, that new DNA structure, the DNA is the avenue by which God's spiritual interfaces with our physical. And that new DNA structure is the thing that allows the Holy Spirit to indwell within us.
Behold, all things become new. All things become new. David Arthur, folks, was his DNA reconstructed? Was his DNA transformed by the power of God, of the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword?
He was reconfigured, brother.
Wow. See, we don't want to believe this because we don't believe in that kind of science. Jared pulled power up from Webster's. He just had enlightened up there, which is good too. In a philosophical sense, the faculty of doing or performing anything. This is power. The faculty of moving or of producing a change in something, ability or strength. A man raises his hand by his own power or by power moves another body. The exertion of power proceeds from the will, and in strictness, no being destitute of will or intelligence can exert power. Power in man is active or speculative. Active power is that which moves the body. Speculative power is that which by which we see, judge, remember, or in general by the way we think. Power may exist without exertion. Dunamis power, potential energy. We have power to speak when we are silent. Oh, my goodness. We have the power to speak when we are silent. Power has been distinguished also, hang on there, into active and passive. The power of doing or moving, or the power of receiving impressions or of suffering. In strictness, passive power is an absurdity in terms. To say that gold has power to be melted is improper language. Yet for want or a more appropriate word, power is often used in a passive sense. Folks, power can't be passive. It can't be. By its very definition, it cannot be passive. Wow. And it is considered as a twofold, able to make or able to receive any change. Power is force, animal strength, as the power of the arm exerted in lifting, throwing, or holding. Power is force, strength, energy, as the power of the mind, of the imagination, mind over matter, of the fancy. He has not powers of genius adequate to the work. Power is the faculty of the mind as manifested by a particular mode of operation, as the power of thinking. Comparing it, see, we don't think. We have the power to think and we won't. We don't change. We have the power to change, but don't. We want to quit smoking. We have the ability, the power to quit smoking, but we don't. We have the power to quit watching pornography, but we don't exert it. So therefore, we don't have any power. It's mute. It's meaningless. That's the church. That's what we're seeing in the church. Power. Hey,
Coach. And John and James looked at the Lord and said, "Shall we call fire down from heaven on them?" Luke, brother, and power, Proverbs 18 says, in life, the power of life and death is in the tongue.
There you are. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Coach.
You got me dizzy. I'm getting dizzy. I'm so dizzy. My head is spinning. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, in engineering terms, power is defined by work over time. So in other words, power can't be passive. Power is what is work doing, is something doing work over time. So we can have the energy of God available to us, but if we don't use it, in other words, we're not putting that energy to work, it's not it's not doing anything for us.
Oh, it's leaking out. I went out the other day, tried to start up my weed whacker. I hadn't used my weed whacker in I don't know, a year probably since I'd used my weed whacker. And I went out there and I got my weed whacker and I hit that button and it didn't spin. I said, well, what's going on here? And then I thought, wow, maybe the battery's dead. They said, well, how can the battery be dead? I ain't even used it. I haven't used it. How can that battery be dead? Because unused power dissipates. It just goes away. And so,
amen.
Or goes somewhere else.
Yes.
So we look at the power of the American church, and it just went someplace else, didn't it? It just got transferred to someplace else. Because that power and that energy was there, but a different person picked up that power and energy, and they used it. Yeah, David?
I just wanted to take it back to what Todd said. It took me to a story. I met somebody one time, and he was telling me, we were actually talking about how when we went into prison, when they started doing DNA samples. And the man said to me, he says, well, David, he says, when I went back to prison, I went back to prison as a Christian. He's like, I was set up. He's like, and believe it or not, they never could match my DNA to his old sample when he was a criminal, when he was in prison before. And it just kind of reminded me of that, about how he was telling me that. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, you know. And I'm thinking, well, maybe God just interceded and didn't want you to be, you know, to be matched up to the old you. But hearing Todd say that, it kind of takes me to maybe that does really happen. Maybe he really does change our DNA. We become a new creature. New creature.
David, didn't it tell you, David, your HIV was undetectable?
Undetectable.
What does that mean?
Well, scientifically, they'll tell me once positive, always positive. But when I say, well, what does undetectable mean? They say, well, it means we can't detect the virus in your system.
Because you got a new system, right?
Amen.
It ain't that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It isn't that old system. Hey, David, who's that over your shoulder up there, man?
Oh, that's my new friend. He's a Nephilim Sasquatch.
David, hey, David, I'm going to send you one of these, okay?
I want one. I'm trying to get one.
David Hawkins, people need these new hats. Okay. Now, I'm going to take you some. I was really hesitant yesterday to do this. But we all cool
hey,
with
Coach?
It? Huh? Anybody think I'm twisting the word of God here? Anybody think I'm too far out there? I'm not trying to do that at all. I'm excited. Go ahead.
Making sense.
Love it, Coach.
Go ahead, Dylan. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hey, think about the old Jack and the Beanstalk. Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman.
I mean,
is there something to that story, right? The giant, the Nephilim, can smell the blood of the English Christian?
Oh, my goodness, huh? Huh? I smell the blood of an Englishman.
What's he smelling? What does he smell? Does he smell the change in the DNA?
Oh, there. Oh, it, don't they? Huh? Oh, I'm making them nervous today. I'm outside that. I'm outside that containment zone. That Christian containment zone, David. I broke through today. I broke through.
Don't you dare. Don't you waste your time on that tinfoil hat stuff.
Well, you know, this ought to be one tinfoil hat thing that could easily be tested. I'm sure there is folks who have had the born-again experience for real, and there is material that they could test the DNA before and after.
Wow.
Amen, Larry.
Wow.
Well, okay. Coach, but you got these evangelists out there, and they call it, you know, motivational speaking. And my question is, that's not working. It doesn't motivate them to do anything.
No, it denies the power. The power just becomes in feeling good. I went to church. I left. Oh, I feel good. I can make it through the week. Oh, that's it? Might as well smoke some crack. Some crack will get you through the week, too. You just won't realize you made it through. You just won't realize there was a week. But that can get you through it as well, right? Now, okay, here we go. Tinfoil hat number one. go to Genesis, Jared. I'm going to throw this one out there. Hey, David, how do I do a disclaimer? The views and opinions of this host are not necessarily the views or opinions of the staff, the management, or anybody involved in here, okay? I'm making that disclaimer. But I saw this, and I said, oh, my Lord. Lord, what does that mean? So get with me real quickly here to Genesis chapter 2. I'm sorry, Jared. Genesis chapter 1. Oh, my goodness. And let's go to Genesis 1:24. Stay with me here. Hey, call me a cult. I don't care. I'm having fun. I'm going to think about this stuff all day long, and I'm going to get in the Word, and I'm going to dig it out more, and I'm going to find out. Jared, do you have it up? Yeah, you do. Okay, hang on. You ready, boys? You sitting down? Sitting down, Alphabet Man? Y'all sitting down? Here we go. 1:24.
Bring it.
God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. I could preach right there, after his kind. Watch this. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeped upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing. We still got power over those creepy things. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed him and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Do it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the earth, air and over every living thing. Oh, my goodness. You ready? Okay. Let's flip over to chapter 2. Now, here's the discussion, one of the discussions we had this weekend. Because God's going to start talking about creating man. Now, he already did it. He just did it. We just read it. He just did it there in Genesis 1:27. He created man. And now all of a sudden we bounce into chapter 2 of Genesis, and watch what he does here. Now, is Genesis 2 merely an explanation of what he did in Genesis 1? Or is something else going on here? Stay with me. It'll make you nervous. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. Oh, my goodness. It was already done, God. It was all done. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work which he God created and made. And these are the generations of the heavens and the earth, yada, yada, yada. And then let's go down to verse 6. But there was a mist from the ground and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God, watch! And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, wait a minute. Didn't he already do that? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. First time it is mentioned. In this creation story, are we seeing, I'm just asking the question, I'm not promoting the theory. Are we seeing the creation of a being, a man, in Genesis 1:27 that had not yet received a soul? And are we seeing that Adam, that God now bends down and makes another one, and he breathes into this one a soul? Man, oh man.
Or the writer could have been just expounding and giving more details on what happened the first time.
Could have been. But Larry, this is the first appearance of soul. Now I'm going to tell you something else, because I studied this on the airplane coming home. Listen, I'm just asking the questions here, okay? I'm trying to strengthen your faith, not destroy your faith. I believe the Genesis account. I'm not taking away or adding anything to it. Please understand this, not in any way, shape, or form. At what point is this guy called Adam? Because just all of a sudden, that word pops up. Adam. Where'd that come from? Look, verse 15, the Lord God took the man, doesn't have a name for him, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, but the tree of knowledge, and God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'm going to make him a helpmeet. Now the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the air and every fowl of the earth and brought them unto Adam. Where's Adam come from? I'm just asking the question. Anybody know where Adam came from?
Who's our Greek expert? What's the difference in the translation? Or I guess this would be Hebrew, from where it's the man before and now it becomes Adam. Because Adam means man in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. So whatever the original Hebrew is, that's the key. I don't know what it is.
Do you understand my curiosity, Lowell?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, you're on to something. This would get you burned at the stake. This is why, guys. Now, listen to me. This is why some of the old secret societies existed. Because you're on to it. Okay, the original language that man thought the world was created in was mathematics. Math is another code. Language is a code. So you're digging into this stuff.
You know, there has to be a first time for everything. There has to be a first time any word is mentioned. So sometimes it may be significant. Other times it may not play a big significance.
Yeah, but Larry, here's the problem I run into. The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. Okay, but I want to do a little bit more of a data dive here. That's all I'm saying. And maybe the answer's in the Greek. They might think I'm really nuts for asking this question. Now, wait a minute. Guys, of all the creatures of the earth, Adam's the only one who became a living soul. And how did he become a living soul? How did he become a living soul? God breathed into him. He didn't breathe into the other beasts, at least not that I see anywhere. He didn't breathe into any of them. But he breathed into this man that we call Adam. He breathed into, doesn't say Adam, does it? Says he breathed into the man. And God formed man of dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living. Did DNA show up then? I don't know. Well, that doesn't make sense because the animals have DNA. Guys, there's something. I'm running out of time, and you guys probably think I'm crazier than I ought to have four of these today.
Brother, you've been dead on today, brother.
What's that?
You've been dead on today.
Well, I'm not. Listen, folks, please understand this. I'm not dead on in that I have the answer, but I think I'm dead on in the question.
Right.
I'm dead on in the questions. I'm dead in. What is it? Right there in Genesis 2, man is separated from every other creature by God breathing into him the breath of life and man becoming a living soul. What happened at that moment? And did it happen at that moment? I don't know. Is Genesis 2 just a retelling of what happened in Genesis 1? A greater explanation of it?
Well, see, Coach, I also think it has something. It leans towards the fact that we're created in his image and animals are not. Animals are animals. We are not animals.
There you go. Okay, cool. No matter how much they try to make us animals, right, David?
That's the first thing I hear all the time when I talk about homosexuality is wrong and it's a sin. And they say, well, even animals do it. Well, first of all, we're not animals. But second of all, no, animals don't do it because if they did it, there wouldn't be any more animals.
Well, and we know this, that clearly in Genesis is a separation between a man and an animal. Now, you got on the screen. You know what Jared's got on the screen? Animals. There's animals on the screen. Unrestrained power. Animals on the street. That's what we're seeing.
Well, if you keep telling them, that's how they get them, because they know if they keep telling them in the schools that they're animals, then eventually they're going to start acting like animals.
Uh-huh. You see, you train them. They came from monkeys. Don't be surprised when they start acting like little apes, right?
That's right. That's right.
Psalm 94. I want to finish here today. Psalm 94. This is on my. I was going to read this first thing I came down. By the way, this you guys have just experienced a session with the Holy Spirit, because I had none of this prepared. None of it. And I feel this. Ooh, I feel that power, right? Got those goosebumps. Lord, what's causing those things? Ooh. Psalm 94. It's where we are, boys. We better be prepared. Oh Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Oh God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Show yourself. Lord, show you. I'm calling right now, Lord, show yourself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph, O Lord? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and they afflict thine heritage. Ooh, waves. They slay the widow and the stranger, and they murder the fowl of the. Can you say abortion? Can you say abortion? Yet they say, the Lord shall not see it, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, you brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they're all vanity. Why? It's data. It's waves. It's waves. Frequencies. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teaches him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest for the days of adversity, and to the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance, but judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. What those waves. So who will rise up for me against the evildoer? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Do you feel that sometimes, folks? You go to church and you feel like your soul is dwelling in silence. No give and take, no feedback, no touch from the Lord. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts, energy within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of the iniquity have fellowship with thee? Watch this. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship? Shall God have fellowship with those who frameth mischief by law? Those who make bad things legal. That's what's going on at the Supreme Court. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. There's the two things we were talking about, the soul and the blood, in the same sentence. That the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and he shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall break down and block those waves. We're in the midst of it, boys. It's coming in the next couple weeks, couple months, like we have never seen. Who will rise up for me against the workers of iniquity? What it just says right there. Who will rise up for me against that? All power has been given to us, both in heaven and in earth, and we're supposed to apply that power. And isn't it amazing? The more you apply the power of God, the more you scare those inside the church. Lord, give us your power. All power been given unto us, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age, because I breathe that very soul inside you. God bless you. See you tomorrow.